puts a topic in my heart. Wherever I turn, I just feel, whenever I turn in the Bible, the Lord's speaking about His return. On Vision Radio all week, Greg Laurie has been doing a series on Antichrist and Armageddon. And Armageddon excited after hearing all this kind of preaching, really. Do you like that, Cecily? Armageddon excited? Yeah, anyway. Greg Laurie has been talking about who the Antichrist is and talking about the signs of the end times around the Middle East, about how all the nations are surrounding, all the enemies are surrounding Jerusalem and Israel. And he's talking about who the Antichrist will be. And he says it won't be like Darth Vader, you know. Dun, 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 dun. He's not saying that it'll be obvious. He's saying that the Antichrist will be this man of peace who, you know, for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, he'll appear as though he's this cool dude and this nice guy who's brokering a peace deal in the Middle East. But then his true colours will be seen and he'll shift. I've been getting this teaching all week about the end times, so I don't know how I'm going to fit it all in this short message time that I have today, but I'm going to do my best to get through it. These are the stats about the end times. Nearly 15% of people worldwide believe the world will end in their lifetime. Whether they think it will come to an end through the hands of God, a natural disaster, a political event, whatever the reason, 1 in 7 people surveyed recently believe that the end will come in our lifetime. This is from a research poll from Reuters. Responses to the international poll of over 16,000 people in 20 countries varied widely, with only 6% of French people believe that the world is coming to an impending end, and 22% in Turkey and the United States believe the world is coming to an end in our lifetime, and slightly less in South Africa and Argentina. So there's some nations where they really believe. There's 1 in 5 in some nations, but the average around the world is 1 in 7. Believe we'll see the end of the world. That's a secular survey. Another secular survey of Americans shows that 40% of Americans believe Jesus Christ will return by 2050, according to another poll. Another church survey release shows that the majority of evangelical Christian leaders believe in the rapture and that the teaching about the end of the world is important in churches these days because we are nearing the end times. Christians will be instantly taken up to heaven, leaving non-believers behind to suffer on earth. That's a majority of the church believe in that teaching. 6 in 10 evangelical leaders, or 61%, believe in the rapture of the church, compared to 32% who say the end times doesn't exactly happen that way. So that's what the body of Christ believes about this topic. And when it comes to teachings about the return of Jesus, slightly more than half, or 52%, believe that Jesus will return in our lifetime. So over half of Christianity in America believe that Jesus will come back in our lifetime. And 8% believe that the second coming would definitely occur in our lifetime. And 44% say that will probably happen sometime while we're alive. In that survey, a lot of people say by 2050 that he'll come back. Now, I personally reckon he'll be back before then. Now, the Bible says clearly no one knows the day or the hour, and I'm not saying it's going to be December 21 like the Mayans did, or I'm not saying like Harold Camping said it's going to be this date or it's that date. But after researching this week, and I've got to say I've avoided preaching on this as a pastor for 8 years. I've avoided it because I thought, oh, well, I'll mention it every now and then, you know. But I really believe there's a burning on my heart this year that I need to teach on this specific subject. Last week I tackled a whole bunch of stuff from the book of Revelation. I really believe the Lord wants us to read the book of Revelation. You get blessed when you read the book of Revelation. Read through it. Even though you don't understand it, just read it because you get blessed. And ask the Lord to give you understanding. Ask the Lord to give you understanding about the times and the seasons we're in. Dean and I had a good chat yesterday at the Working Bee, and can we just give a big hand to Dean and Brad and all those that helped out at the Working Bee yesterday? Thank you, guys. A whole bunch of people came along and helped out. And Dean said that line, oh, but Matt, no one knows the day or the hour. And I said, no, that's true, but we can know the season and the time that we're in. Isn't that right? And, you know, a lot of people have said this, you know, for many years, but it's interesting that there's more and more signs of the times if you do your research on it. I really believe that a vast majority of people who call themselves Christians don't focus on the return of the Lord Jesus and don't see it as an important thing. But I really believe that there is a shift going on in the world right now and we need to look up, we need to read what the Word of God says, and we need to discern the signs of the times. The Bible says, be alert. Live your life as if he could return any second. There is a crown as a reward for those who diligently await his return and are ready. Doesn't mean giving up and waiting for the glory bus to come. It means working diligently to gather in the harvest before it's too late. By saying he could return by 2050 shows that people really have no idea of what end time prophecy is really about. We are not properly discerning the signs of the times and not really concerned about what the Bible says. We look at the church of Laodicea, and we looked at it last week in Revelation. They were neither hot nor cold, they were lukewarm. And I want to challenge you as a church, don't be lukewarm about the return of Jesus. Don't say, oh, that's for Pastor Matt to talk about. That's for them to talk, the radio preachers, and that's for all those, you know, televangelists to talk about. I don't need to worry about that. Let me tell you, we all need to study, research, pray, see what the Word of God says about this topic. If we don't discern the signs of the times correctly, many could be left behind. Many could not be prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to wake up. I think that word from Jordan was the perfect start to the message today. We need to wake up. We need to not slumber, not be apathetic, not be lazy and sitting on our pews and comfortable. We need to be working in the harvest field. We need to be watchful. We need to be prayerful. And we need to be doing the work that the Lord's called us to do. His return is imminent. Let's not look at that verse and say no one knows the day or the hour and use it as an excuse that we can't know, because we can know the signs of the times. Whilst no one knows the exact day or the hour, we certainly can have a discernment from the Lord about the season of his return. I actually had a good chat to Pastor Christopher about this last year, and I was very encouraged to hear her talk about the Feast of Trumpets. I think you might have shared about it on a Sunday night sermon at one stage. And the Feast of Trumpets is a lot of Christians actually believe that is the season that the Lord will return. And for those who don't know about the Feast of Trumpets, it's on from it's 18 minutes before sunset in Jerusalem on the Wednesday, the 4th of September, and finishes on Friday, the 6th of September. Hang on, I'm not saying this year on the 4th of September. Don't misquote me. I'm not saying this year on the 4th of September. That's when Jesus is coming back. Don't misquote me. But there's a lot of Christians that are actually saying we need to study what the Feast of Trumpets is about. We need to understand what the Old Testament feasts are about. And what is the meaning behind that feast? They call it Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. I'm not making a prediction, certainly not. I'm just saying that it's probably the most likely time for the gathering of the bride. For those who are not ready, in 1 Thessalonians 5 it says, you yourselves know perfectly well that the return of the Lord will come unexpectedly and suddenly as a thief in the night. For those who are ready, but you who are not, who are given up to the power of darkness, brethren, for that day it will overtake you and surprise you like a thief. So if Paul assures us, and Paul went to heaven and saw and heard things that were forbidden that he wasn't able to reveal to us, Jesus will not come as a thief in the night to real believers. We need to realize and discern the signs of the times. We need to repent of our apathy and be ready for the return of Jesus. I've got one amen. That's a good start. Jesus spoke many times about the last days and gave some pretty clear instructions to his believers. He told us to watch and to pray. But many are blind and asleep. What if we are the last generation on the earth before the Lord's return? No one knows the day or the hour, but we can know the signs and the seasons of the times. Jesus said in Matthew 24, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Smith Wigglesworth prophesied over Australia as the great south land of the Holy Spirit. He says, we will see the last great move of the Holy Spirit and we will take the gospel to the nations. He actually said that when we get to heaven, at the end of days, when we get to heaven, Apostle Paul and Peter and Moses and these great men of God will want to have a chat to the Aussies to say, wow, I loved living in my time and my season. But seeing what you Aussies did, taking the gospel to the nations in the last days, that was more exciting than the book of Acts. What did Jesus say? Greater things you will do for those who believe in me. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done, I believe. If we are the generation to take the gospel to the whole world before the end comes, then are we ready? Will we be found working in the harvest field when Jesus returns? Or will we be found sleeping in? Will we be found having a day off, chilling out, watching TV, playing the Xbox, getting on the internet, doing our own thing? Or will we be found harvesting in the harvest fields that he's called us to do? Lauren Cunningham, the founder of YWAM, has personally gone to every sovereign nation on earth, all dependent countries, and more than 100 territories and islands for the sake of the gospel. I got to interview him for History Makers a few years ago, and he said, I believe I am one of these end time warriors who has been called to go to the nations. He's actually been acknowledged in the Guinness Book of Records as one of the most travelled men on the planet. And what is the purpose of his travel? To take the gospel to the nations. You travel to anywhere in the world, you'll find a youth with a mission base and a house of prayer that's been set up praying to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard Louis Giglio was speaking at the Passion Conference, 60,000 people in America recently. And they had a wonderful campaign called I'm In It to End It. And I Googled it because I was curious to see what's all this about. And it's actually about ending human slavery around the planet. And I thought, what a great slogan. I'm in it to end it. I'm in this campaign to end human slavery. And I'm all for that. You know, I love Destiny Rescue. And I really believe we need to make sure we see an end to sex trafficking and human slavery. I'm all for it. But I want to steal that slogan and appropriate it to today's message. Are you in it to end it? Are you in the army that's rising up? You know, we sang that song before. There's an army rising up to break every chain. There's an army rising up to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Are you in it to end it? If this prophecy is true that Jesus spoke, if you really believe the words of Jesus, he says, this gospel will be taken to all the nations. And the word nation there, you can use the word ethnos or ethnic group. When this gospel is taken to every ethnic group of the world, then the end will come. Are you in it to end it? We could be the generation that takes the gospel to the nations, and when that prophecy is fulfilled, we could see the end come in our lifetime. And I believe it will be before 2050. I reckon there's a whole bunch of Christians that are going, oh, I've got plenty of time up my sleeve. I'll just cruise along, have my wife and 2.3 kids and pay off my mortgage and have a good job, and then I'll get to doing the work of the ministry when I've got enough money in the bank. Then I'll go and do the work. Then I'll go and do a mission trip that Pastor Matt's on my case about. Then I'll go and win my neighbours to the Lord. I've just got my life to sort out first. No. Jesus said, lose your life for me and then you'll find it. He says, deny yourself, take up a cross and follow me. He's looking for end time warriors who are in it to end it, to see the return of Jesus Christ on this planet. Wesley Campbell from a church in Canada preached on this platform just last year. And he shared that all the world's largest mission organizations gathered together in 2012 in the US and projected when they will have the gospel taken to every nation. And they said in the next 5 years, they will have the gospel gone to every ethnic group on this planet. I'm not saying 5 years' time, Feast of Trumpets, that's when it's going to happen in September. Look, I'm not predicting a date. But I'm saying, are you discerning these signs of the times? If the world's largest mission organizations are saying they reckon in the next 5 years they'll have the gospel gone to every ethnic group, what are we doing in the next 5 years? What are we doing in the next 2 years? What are we doing in 2013? What are we doing today to see the gospel go to all the nations? Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Let's look at what Jesus tells us in the end times in the Gospels. In this series, we're focusing on the red letters of Jesus. We're focusing on the fulcrum of the Word of God, the most powerful words ever spoken, I believe, the words of Jesus. The whole Bible is inspired by God. But I love the words of Jesus because he is the Son of God. He is God incarnate on the earth. So if you want to have a look in the Word of God, Matthew 24 covers a whole bunch of prophecies about the end times. Mark 13 and Luke 21. In all three of those Gospels, there's a whole raft of predictions about the end times that Jesus... it's a big topic. Jesus doesn't just tack it on at the end of his sermon, "Oh, by the way, I'll be coming back one day, all the best." He preaches whole sermons on it. He's wanting this to be a big focus of his ministry. In Matthew 24, Jesus warned us to be aware of false messiahs, people claiming to be divine, to be Jesus, to be the Messiah. We have many people across the globe today who claim to be the promised Messiah. Jesus continues, he said, "You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but not to see it that you are alarmed." He says, don't worry about that stuff. Don't freak out when you see the 6 o'clock news and you see all the wars and rumors of wars of the planet. Don't worry about that stuff. Instead, look to the Father, he says. He says, such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. Once again, that word nation is ethnos. Ethnic group will rise up against ethnic group. How much do we see that across the planet? All the race riots and nations rising against nation. And kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Now, these things have also to come to pass. But I did some research. In the last 200 years alone, we've faced more wars than ever in the history of the world. The War of 1812, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, Iraq War, War on Terrorism, Cold War, etc. Rumors of war continue to sprout across the globe on a regular basis. Many wars are at this current moment still ongoing. Some wars have occurred and nations have risen against nation. Mass famines have also become widespread in recent years, as has earthquakes. A recent study shows a dramatic increase in worldwide earthquakes. But since the decade of Israel's rebirth, interestingly enough, since Israel's rebirth, like the increasing of birth pangs, as the Bible says, in the 1940s there was 51 above the Richter scale of 6.0. In the 1950s, 475. In the 1980s, 1,085. In the 1990s, 1,540. In the last decade, there's been an increase between 2,000 to 3,000 earthquakes above the Richter scale of 6.0. And who can't deny that that is a sign of the end times, that the earth is shaking before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Luke 21:11 says this: there will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. Now this all has to come to pass. Pestilences. Think of recent events like the swine flu, which was believed would wipe out much of the nation. Interestingly, in the States right now, over 40 states in America have got an epidemic of the flu. Hospitals are overflowing. There's been a number of deaths in a number of states. You hear on the news, there's an epidemic of the flu in the States right now. And I know I've quoted a lot of stuff from the States here, but truth is, there's a whole bunch of stuff in China, a whole bunch of stuff in all the nations of the planet that you don't get reported on in the secular Western media. If you could research and survey all those nations of the pestilences and epidemics going on, bottom line is there has been an increase according to what the Word of God says. In Luke 21:20, Jesus says, "When you see the reborn Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you'll know that the desolation is near." Since that time, many armies have tried to take down the nation of Israel. Even before that, in World War II, the Jewish people were persecuted and have been for centuries, especially with the rebirth of Israel as a nation in 1948. This has come to pass. You have a look at Israel. You study the incredible things that have happened in Israel's history, the 48 War, the 67 War, the Six-Day War, all these incredible miracles, because Israel is the apple of God's eye. They are God's chosen people. We're able to receive the blessings of Israel because we are new creations in Christ Jesus, and we receive the blessings as well. But if you have a heart for Israel, I know Hannah's about to go there soon. I'm going there, and I'm going to be taking a team in November 2014. If you're interested in coming, and I'm really believing that that's if Jesus doesn't come back by then, I should say. But I'm really believing that we need to be as a church, we need to study and know what the Lord is saying about Israel. He continues in Luke 21. Jesus said in the red letters, he said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity and the roaring and the tossing of the sea." Luke 21:25. Jesus tells other things, but he concludes by telling of the second coming. He says, all these will happen. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming up in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. I can't wait for that moment. I can't wait for that moment. Carol has held on to that verse a number of times. The Lord really spoke to her about that verse. In the tribulations and the trials we've been through as pastors over the last 7 years, whenever we're going through a tough time, Carol will slip that verse out in a prayer. She'll say, Lord, we're lifting up our heads because our redemption is drawing near. Friends, I don't want to be a doomsday prophet today and make you all freak out and worry about all this stuff. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He says, my peace I give you. My peace, it will never leave you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus promises that he will be with us through all this stuff. How sad is it for those who don't know Jesus that they've got to go through all this stuff? They've got to see all the signs of the times and freak out and worry when we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our hearts. We have the mind of Christ. He has given us his Holy Spirit with love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and patience and self-control. He's given us all these things so we don't have to worry about that stuff, because he's with us. He's promised to be with us on the journey we go through. I love this passage in Matthew 24. I'm going to ask the worship team to come, and I'm just going to read this out. And I just felt the Lord wanted me to read this out to you, and I really believe there is a blessing when we talk about the return of Jesus. There's a blessing when we read the red letters of Jesus. So listen to this, is what Jesus says. In verse 30 of Matthew 24, it says, then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. He says, therefore, keep watch. You do not know the day or the hour, so you do not know what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had not known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. I heard Mark Lowry speak about this, actually. He says that in church, sometimes we jump around. He said, we should do rapture practice, you know. Just get ready for when the Lord comes back. He also said, isn't it terrible to think at some time, somewhere around the world, it's going to be 2 a.m. How grumpy do we get at 2 a.m. when we're woken up? I know our daughter's been coming into our bedroom in the middle of the night. For some people, it's going to be 2 a.m. in the middle of the night, and you'll be like, oh, this is it, woo! Your first reaction will be, oh, I've been woken up, but we'll be caught up to be with Jesus. Isn't that amazing to think that saints from the four corners of the earth are going to be swept up to be with Jesus in that one moment? The next verse says this. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is going away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As a pastor, as a shepherd in the Church of Jesus Christ, I would be committing malpractice. I would be dishonoring the call of the Lord in my life if I didn't say to you, wake up, get ready, be prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be like that servant who said, oh, he'll come back one day, I don't care when he comes back. Discern the signs of the times. Be prepared, be watchful. There are three things the Lord tells us to do according to J.C. Ryle. He says this. He says we are to pray, keep up regular habits of communion and worshiping the Lord. Don't allow coldness to come in between us and the Father. Speak with Him daily. Ask Him every day, what do you want me to do, Lord? Be found in peace without spot and blameless before the Lord. He says we are to watch, to live our lives always on guard, to keep our souls in a wakeful, lively state, prepared at any time to meet our Master. We are to beware of anything like spiritual lethargy, dullness, deadness. Make sure you don't become lukewarm. Let us not sleep as do others, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5. Let us watch and be sober. He wants us to pray. He wants us to watch. And the third thing He wants us to do is He wants us to work. Every single one of us has a call. Every single one of us has gifts. Every single one of us has a purpose to serve the Lord. Don't work because the pastor told you to, or because you're trying to be religious, or you're trying to climb your ladder to heaven. That's not the kind of work I'm talking about. Will you be found faithful with the call the Lord Jesus has placed in your life? We are to realize we are all to be servants of a great Master who's given to each man a work to do, and He expects that work to be done. We are to labor to glorify God, each in our particular sphere and relation. There is always something for everyone to do. We are to strive, each one of us, to shine as a light, to be salt of our own times, to be found faithful witnesses for our Master, and to honor Him with a consistency in our daily lives. Our great desire must be found not idle and sleeping, but by working and doing, being led by the Holy Spirit. Are we looking for our Savior's return? Do we long for His appearing? Do we cry out, come Lord Jesus, come? Can we say with sincerity, come Lord Jesus? Do we live as if we expected Christ to come again? These are questions which demand serious consideration. May we give them the attention with which they deserve. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father, we know that You are the only one that knows the return of Your Son, that knows the time of the return of Your Son. But Jesus, You've commanded us to be watchful, to be prayerful, and to be found working in the harvest field. May we not give in to the curse of apathy, of laziness. May we be found faithful to the call You placed in our lives, Lord Jesus. Send us to the nations, Lord. Send us out as workers in the harvest field, Lord. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you believe it's the truth that He's coming back. You believe in the truth that Jesus died on the cross and He rose 3 days later from the grave. He rose for you. But you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, and you want to say, you know, I want to get my heart right with God. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to do that today, with every eye closed and every head bowed, just slip up your hand and say, yes, I'm giving my heart to Jesus today. I want to be found as a lover of Jesus in these last days. Is there anyone here today? If that's you, just slip up your hand. I'll give you one more moment. Okay, my second call today, with every eye closed. Do you feel like you have been leaning back and reclining and not taking up the harvester and getting out and working in the harvest fields? Do you feel like you've been waiting? You've been lukewarm, you've been apathetic about the call in your life, and you want to say, God, today it begins. I want to be part of this end time army. I want to rise up and be the man of God, be the woman of God You've called me to be. Today, I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit and Your fire to go to the nations with the gospel. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand now and say, God, forgive me. I repent from my lukewarmness. I want to be on fire for You. I want Your Holy Spirit to fill me. I want You to anoint me and send me. I want to bear fruit in my life before Your return. Hands up all over the house. Well, Jesus, we pray this together. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Father, I just speak a blessing over every person that's raised their hand now. Lord, would You change them from the inside out? Would You anoint them for the call of God in their life? Would You send them out to the highways and the byways, to the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Raise up an army, Lord God, and send us out. Holy Spirit, come and move in power in this house right now. In Jesus' name. If you want me to lay hands